Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to the Art of Decluttering. I am Kirsty Farugia.
And I am Amy Helen Revelle, and we are so excited to be in your ears. I feel like today, Kirst, we should use our sleepy time voices. Which I'm not sure what the difference between sleepy time voices and sexy voices are.
Okay. So maybe now you just put that image in everybody's head. And I think that a sleepy time voice can just be gentler and more
quieter, more sing-songy.
Rather than husky.
And heavy.
And yeah.
Yeah, so sing-songy. Did you used to sing your kids songs when they were going to sleep?
No.
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 Oh, I did every single night the same song. And then when we'd finish, so the song was, it's an old, I don't even know where it's from, but it's an old song called Jesus Loves the Little, it's called Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Like I know, that song. Because I knew as soon as you said, did you sing to your kids? I was like, no, I did not sing Jesus Loves Me, and I knew that you would have.
I just knew it. Every single night. And Elijah spoke really early, and when he was about 10 months old.
Did he say be quiet?
Stop singing, Mum. He used to. I'd walk in, we'd put him in his sleeping bag, we'd close the blinds, I'd hold him and I'd start singing. He'd lay his head on my shoulder like it was the cutest thing. And then when I'd finish, he'd lift his head, he goes, more Jesus? And I'd sing it again, and then he'd put his head on my shoulder, and we would sometimes just go round and round in circles because he was just...
You know that he was just
saying no. He was totally playing me. It was the cutest thing ever.
And he just hooked you. He knew how to, he knew at 10 months how to hook
more
you.
Jesus?
Jesus? No, I didn't sing to my kids. And I, you know, a lot of times didn't read to them either. I was one of those mums.
You don't have to. There's no rules.
Exhausted.
Yeah, there's no rules. Never go to bed.
I know there's no rules. Yeah.
So we're talking today about sleep.
About rules.
How sleep relates to decluttering and your bedroom. And we have a special expert spot coming up. We've trialed that and we think it worked really well last time. So we've got a sleep consultant that's doing a bit of a spot for us later.
She might be a celebrity to some of you. So get your guessing hats on to who we may have chosen to speak to us about sleep.
Kirst.
Amy.
Let's Helen talk about some Ravel. Of the studies.
Amy, Helen, Giorgio Ravel.
Wow, all my names all together. What I really liked about this episode is there was just lots of opportunity for us to do research and find some studies.
Okay. Let's qualify.
Okay, let's
there
go
was
again.
Opportunity for you to get your laptop out and do some research.
Yes, I did some research.
I have not had the opportunity to do.
But I'm collaboratively giving you the credit.
I know, but I very much thank you for it. But I just want to be honest to people that I have not done any research for this because we came up with the idea yesterday and I've been at a funeral today.
So I did the research.
Thank you, Amy.
No worries.
Hey, Ravel, tell me, what did you learn today?
So there was a really interesting study that was conducted by New York St. Lawrence University that results showed that having a messy bedroom can lead to a poor night's sleep and increased anxiety. And the study found that people who have a more clutter-filled bedroom will take longer to fall asleep than those with neat and tidy rooms, that they will be have increased tiredness and make it less likely that they will tidy their room the following day. So that vicious cycle of I'm not getting enough sleep, my room's messy, I'm not getting enough sleep, my room's messier, I'm tireder, and so on and so forth. Now, we did not need St. Lawrence University to do that study for us to know this to be truth. But those of you who do love a little bit of research, we thought that might be helpful.
And those of you who maybe already have a clean bedroom or a clear bedroom may not have contributed, realize the connection. And those of you with a messy bedroom also may not have realized the link between the two. Mm. But we see it all the time when we work with clients who go from having a really cluttered, messy bedroom to having a clear bedroom and an organized bedroom. What's some of the feedback that we get, Amy?
The first ever client that I did, Kirsten. So back in, must have been 2014, I did an 8-year-old girl's bedroom, and it was a typical 8-year-old girl's bedroom, I would say. There was lots of soft toys, there was craft supplies, the wardrobe was pretty messy, but it wasn't a disaster zone. You could still walk on the floor. I remember saying to her, Amber, you're going to be able to sleep better tonight. And she was kind of like, whatever, Amy.
Whatever.
And her mum was like, oh my gosh, if she would be able to sleep better, that would mean everything because she's not a great sleeper. And I got a text message from her. It's Amber says, Amy's right. An organized and tidy bedroom helps you sleep better. And I was like, 8-year-old girl sold. And that was my very first client review that I ever received.
That's so awesome.
What about you? Tell some stories.
I just love doing bedrooms because I love the idea of our bedrooms being a sanctuary. Mm. Like I really resonate with that. I really love that my bedroom is. I've always loved escaping to my bedroom. So now that Oliver is 11 and is starting to do that retreat, I keep like wanting to pull him out. And then I remember what I was like at 11, and my bedroom was my only space.
Your like, domain.
Yeah. And when you're a kid in particular, it is the only space that you have. Like, so I just like, I keep having to remind myself, no, you actually remember what it's like to be 11. You were in your bedroom pressing play and recording American Top 40 when you're 11 and making your own mixtapes. So let him be in there listening to Shawn Mendes. Let him be in there kicking his soccer ball in his room listening to music, because that's exactly what I was like at 11. And so, I remember that being a place of sanctuary for me. And then, you know, all throughout the rest of my years, like my meme room. I think maybe before I was 10 or 11, I don't have very many memories of my bedroom. I remember being stuck in my bedroom with my sister and us calling out to our parents who were watching a country practice and just thought it was neighbors yelling and didn't realize that. I think our neighbors actually had to come and knock on the door and say, that's your kids.
Like, that is so good.
So, I have like, you know, a handful of memories of bedrooms before around about 10 and 11, like when we moved to Papua New Guinea. And so, but since then, it really has been like a sanctuary for me. So I absolutely love creating sanctuaries for our clients as well, like really. And because people, I don't know what it's like in other cultures, but in our culture, the master bedroom is often a sacred place for whatever reasons, which I find really funny. Like I understand it. I understand that that's a place where it's a very intimate space. But when I'm showing people around my home and people like don't want to enter my bedroom, I'm like, it's okay. You can come in. That intimacy is not happening right now. So come on in. Like, and so, but I totally get that. And I totally want bedrooms to be that sanctuary for other people. So I love bedroom, master bedrooms, and any bedroom actually is some of my favorite rooms to do. That didn't tell you a story about a specific client, just told you my love of bedrooms. How about you?
I am thinking of a client whose children all share a bedroom. So they've got five kids. So they've got five kids and one small bedroom. So two sets of bunks and two toddler beds that slide in under the bunks and a cot in there. Like it's full and cramped, but even helping their kids, like their older children, to declutter their little zones in their bedroom. Like a sanctuary doesn't mean that there's not lots of people sleeping in there or that there's not multiple beds. It doesn't mean you don't have things, but you can still have a sanctuary where it's not things that are out of place. It's not noisy things. It's not, books strewn everywhere and additional blankets and soft toys where you feel like it just builds and builds. But actually where you can have, even though that you might be sleeping in the same room as four of your siblings, you've got a place where you can sit and relax and just decompress.
Mm. And I find the same even with like adult bedrooms. Like I've got one of my beautiful clients has got twins, and we redid her bedroom, and it was just like such black and white, such a huge difference from being able to how it was before I got in there with her to how it was afterwards. You know, we changed the bed around, and like I've helped mums who are just about to have a newborn. We've changed rooms around so the flow of the room works better, but also just clearing the clutter, like just getting rid of everything, reducing what's in the room and then finding great homes for them. It's just, I can totally understand why sleep is so connected to clutter. And it makes, you know, that research that you found, it makes sense that people's thoughts, like that they can't slow their mind down, because even if they're not specifically thinking about, oh, this is what I want to achieve in my room,
yep,
it's just noise. Like, and even if you're in the dark,
yeah, you it could still affect you.
Yeah, and you can remember what it looked like when you turned your light off. And so I totally get that your subconscious is at play in that, not letting your mind slow down.
Often it's simple things like a pile of dirty washing or a pile of clean washing actually is more often than not the culprit. It's a washing basket that's in there. It's a pile of papers. It's an exercise machine. I know we are not great at making our bed, and I know we've had that confession. I've said that before in the podcast. Kirsty and Simon are amazing at making their bed. Cal is much better than me. So if he gets out of bed after me, the bed tends to get made. If I get out last, I do not tend to make it. But I know when Cal's made the bed and I'll walk in after a client, I'm like, I just want like a 10-minute lie down. If the bed is made and there's nothing else in the room, it just feels like I'm at a spa. It feels so good to lie down. Whereas if you go into a bedroom and there's just stuff everywhere and your kid's been in your bed last night, so they've left their dummy and there might be their pajamas and a toy, and you walk in and there's things to do rather than walk in and sleep is the sole purpose of what you actually want to achieve in that time.
Yeah. And even like just the basket of clothes, like you have to tell yourself not to do that so that you can rest. Like, and that's totally fine. Like, you know, Amy, my heart for you is to rest after you've seen a client because of your chronic fatigue and all the other things that are going on in your life. My heart is for you to rest. So, you know, if you were my client, I'd be like, yeah, definitely just walk past those clothes and, you know, jump into bed, yeah, and lay down for 10 minutes. But I also know that that's what weighs on our minds. Mm-hmm. And we're like, we have to deliberately tell ourselves, I'm not doing the clothes. I'm not doing the clothes.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave that and rest. And you're not resting guilt-free. I think that's the beauty curse. And I really like that as professional organizers, when we're going out to people's homes, we can give testimony to that. We can say, we do have bedrooms that don't have any clutter in it. We don't have clothes sitting on a chair. We don't have baskets of washing. And what that means is when I decide it's time to go to bed, I need to brush my teeth and put my pajamas on and I'm ready for bed. Like, my whole bedroom is completely organized. There's nothing out of place. And I love that we can say to people that is possible with a busy family and kids. That is a space that you want to work hard at protecting.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that an exercise bike can't be in there, because that's the only space that you can have an exercise bike. We just mean that maybe not use it as an exercise drobe, a wardrobe hanger for your clothes. And it also doesn't mean that you can't have your desk in there, particularly during this season of COVID, where your bedroom may be the only place that is relatively quiet. So you can have Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. It's probably still not quiet, but, you know, maybe you've got a lock on your door and you can lock your children out from coming in to you. So please don't mishear us. We're definitely saying that it can't be a multi-purpose room. Mm-hmm. It's just being clutter-free and being tidy as well.
Well, lots of people in Melbourne that we've been working with during COVID, our NDIS clients, have a desk in their bedrooms that wasn't there in February but has to be there now, because they might be in a share house. Maybe two other people are also working from home that equally weren't in February. So all of a sudden you might have a desk in your bedroom, but if you can have that desk tidy, when you walk in, it's not like, ew, that's the part of the bedroom I hate, and you have to avert your eyes. You actually just walk in and go, oh, this is nice and chill and relaxed, and I can rest, I can be intimate, I can read this, you know, like, it is a place of rest and restoration.
And I think, because I think that was the point I was trying to make earlier and got sidetracked by myself, is that because it is the intimate space, one of the intimate spaces in our house, we do feel fine to close the doors to it. And so it can become the junk room in our house.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly if other rooms have got other family members in the room and you don't have, you know, on the floor plan, a junk room. So the lounge, you know, your bedroom often, like the master bedroom, can often become the junk room, because you can close the door and nobody's going to ask you about, well, why can't we come into your bedroom?
Exactly. Yeah. And you're not hosting people in your bedroom generally. Maybe as a young adult, you might, if you're living at home, you know, like, there's instances where you may.
If you're a share home. Yeah.
Correct. Yes. But generally speaking, it's not a space where you're like, hey, let's have a catch up and let's sit on my bed, unless you've got a massive TV and a stash of chocolate, in which case I'll come and lie on your bed and watch movies with you.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, it can be the dumping ground. So this whole episode relating to sleep is, we just really want to encourage you for your bedroom not to be your dumping ground, because we really want you to have great sleep, because we really want you to be fully functioning adult or child in this world, giving the world the best of you. And that comes, when we all know that comes with sleep, and good sleep, not just sleep, but deep, good sleep.
Yeah. So it's about helping you fall asleep and then stay asleep.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
There was a blog that we'll put in the show notes from Organized Interiors that talk about even when you've got clutter in the rest of the house, you can kind of convince yourself that you tune out to the clutter. It doesn't bother you. You don't even see it anymore. But they talk about the fact that a disorganized environment is constantly being registered by your brain as a job to be completed. Like you said before, Kirst, even if it's just subconsciously.
Yep.
And so even if you've come out of the lounge room where you're maybe watching TV or you've put a load of washing on, you're walking through the kitchen and it's messy and cluttered, the entirety of your home actually will affect your quality of sleep and your children's quality of sleep if you have kids. And goodness, don't we know that children having good sleep is so, so important, and sleep deprivation is next level.
It's a form of torture.
I feel like that's I lost years of my life to sleep deprivation.
But sleep, that's why it's a form of torture.
Yeah, it literally is. And figuratively is as well.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I really that's what jumped out at me when you read about in that first research and then again in this one, is that our brain likes to organize things. Like, that's how we're made, even if we think that we're clutter blind, or even if we think other people that we live with in our home are clutter blind, our subconsciously we're not. Subconsciously, we're still trying to sort it. We're still, like, our mind is buzzing somewhere in the background, somewhere subconsciously trying to order things, because that is how we're made. And we know that there's research done on that.
Well, that's right. Well,
don't ask me, but Amy will.
I haven't looked at it this time, but we'll find it. But it was a UCLA study that found that the more clutter in your home, the higher your cortisol levels. And so therefore, if you've got the increased stress hormones, it's going to have a massive effect on your sleep, because stress does not give you good quality or good quantity sleep. So if just by reducing the contents of your home, by organizing the contents in your home, if that can give you a better sleep, like, let there be no other reason other than holy moly, sleep's incredible and I want better quality and more of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a special guest today, and it is the amazing Mandy Hose from Mandy Hose She Knows, and also from Two Peas in a Podcast. Everybody get on that podcast today after you listen to ours. But she is phenomenal, and she has some really good tips for us, particularly around children, because that's what she deals with, around how decluttering and organizing their room can help them sleep. So we'll go to that now.
Hi, Kirsty and Amy. It's Mandy here. Thanks for asking me to be a part of this episode. I could talk about sleep all day long. It is my whole bread and butter. So I've been working as a sleep consultant for newborns to five-year-olds for the last 7 years. And before that, I worked at a parenting center where I did a lot of home visiting. So I saw every room, bedroom you can imagine. So I think when we're thinking about clutter, or we're thinking about making the busyness of a bedroom, I want you to think about that the bedroom, the cot, the bed is a place that we want to be a sanctuary for our children. So somewhere they can go, that they can rest, that they're not confused about, is this a place to play or is this a place to sleep? So if we're thinking about the very beginning, from a bassinet to a cot, I want you to think about keeping it, firstly, safe. So you can follow all the SIDS guidelines for that.
But even I just want you to think about, you know, the whole idea of having a mobile over the top of the cot. Instead of having the mobile in the cot, why don't you pop it on your change table instead? Because that's a place where babies get really mischievous and do a lot of rolling and they need some distraction. So sometimes a mobile above there is a better place than to have it above the cot where they're thinking, oh, is this a place from, you know, I've got shiny lights and singing music and that's kind of keeping me awake. So thinking about that. And then when we've got our big kids that are in bed, and I work with a lot of twin families, so you can imagine 2-3-year-olds in a bed jumping around all evening. So I want you to think about making the room sort of as boring as possible. Still lovely, and you want to have nice things in there that promote their relaxing. So books and stories and soft, you know, cushions or and all those things that sort of create that feeling of coziness and rest. And so also thinking about, are you able to open up and close your curtains in the bedroom? So that's a really important thing because that's a way that we can say the daytime starting with the blind open and then the daytime's ending when we close the curtains. So sometimes when we've got too much in our room, we can't get to the curtains and open them up. But that's a really, really easy tool and an easy way to show children when sleep time is starting and when it's ending. So yes, I've definitely seen changes in children when their rooms are a little bit more organized and they know that this is a place to sleep as opposed to, is this a place to do lots of big, heavy playing? So yep, go for it, people. Tidy up their rooms, get it organized, and just make their bedrooms as much of a place of rest as possible. And yeah. See you later. Bye.
Thank you, Mandy. We are so grateful for you to share your wisdom. If you want to get some help with your children who are not sleeping, we'll have a link to Mandy's business in our show notes. Kirsty, us.
Love that woman.
Oh, yes. She's flipping amazing.
Love her. Australian of the year, my friends. Australian of the year.
Watch that.
For Victoria.
I thought this was really interesting. It's a quote from a book that's called Feng Shui for Dummies, which I thought was perfect for us because we don't know a
We're
lot
feng
about
shui
feng shui
dummies.
By David Daniel Kennedy. And this is the quote: the last thing we see before sleep and the first thing we see when we wake influence our entire lives. And I thought, even if you're not a 100% feng shui follower, which we're obviously not because we don't know that much about it, but I thought that quote was really pertinent to what we're talking about. Even if you're falling asleep in the dark before you turn your light off, if your bedside table is cluttered and full of things, it will affect your sleep. And if you wake up and there's clothes on the floor and that affects your day, even if you don't want it to, and you probably don't want it to, but it does, and it's within your control to do something about it. And we're here to coach you through that.
I know, right? We've got like 223 episodes that you can go back and listen to. And of course, we're always here in person if you live in Sydney or Melbourne and virtually all over the world. We love doing sessions for people who don't live in our cities as well. So, but we have plenty. We've got episode on master bedrooms. We've got episodes on kids' bedrooms as well. So we are here for you and we are always going to be cheering you on.
Yes, I want to know, do you use any sleep tools? Like, do you have any sleep triggers or anything special that, you know, an oil that you put on or music that you listen to, anything like that? You've got the cheekiest grin on your face and I now don't know whether I should have asked the question or not asked the question.
It's fine. I just went somewhere that we don't go on this show. So
we do not.
I don't because I find it I do have a sleep tool and it is called reading before I go to sleep.
Yeah, awesome. That's perfect.
So I nearly always read, much to Simon's disgust.
I was going to say, can we just park there for a moment?
Yeah.
You're still married, right?
Yes.
And yet you put a light on to read while what Simon is in bed trying to sleep?
So he bought me a Kindle with a backlight last Christmas.
He still needs to be nominated for Australian of the Year. that's a deal breaker.
I can go to sleep with a light on. I often go to sleep with a light on. So if he hasn't come to bed yet, I will leave the light on for him. I'll leave the light on because I can break into song. It's my podcast. And I And I can fall asleep, whereas he can't go into deep sleep with the light on, hence the Kindle with the backlight.
Yep. Okay.
Purchased last
and that year. Works?
Yes. Yes, it does. So, and I love, I love reading before I go to sleep. In fact, I kind of get a bit heebie-jeebies if I don't get to read before I go to sleep. So and that is
once
my
you book. Close the book, are you pretty much out to it?
Yes. I fall asleep like that. I know. I'm sorry because you have some insomnia issues. Do you want to talk to us about them?
Oh, I do. I take melatonin every night for my insomnia. Well, I'm not really sure why I get it. I don't know if it's just my brain that doesn't stop. I slept my first night through as a child at 7 years old. My first night of full sleep at 7 years old. My poor mum by then had four children and I was still getting up. I think she says up to 13 times a night. Yeah, I was a bad sleeper. And they always just said her brain just doesn't slow down. I wasn't screaming out. I just could not wind down and hence my life at 40. So I take melatonin.
Feel for me, people. Feel for me and Cal.
Oh, for Cal also.
I am impacted by your never-ending brain as well.
I'm very impacted by the moon cycle. I don't even know really if that's a thing, but me and my sisters really struggle to sleep on full moons. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because we're like full of water. I don't know, but I often have an insomnia night on those nights. But so I take my melatonin. I'll often pop my earbuds in and listen to a podcast to kind of wind down. My favorite podcast to listen to is anything where Richard Feidler is talking. His voice is just like magic to me.
Melodious.
I love him as an interviewer. He's my top favorite interviewer in the world. I just think he's fantastic. I love everything about him. So I can never fall asleep while I'm listening, but I find him really calming. So I'll listen to a podcast, turn that off. I have just last week bought myself a weighted blanket. Mm-hmm. Hello, awesomeness. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. I bought the heaviest one. I bought a 9 kilo one. So I can barely get it on the bed, mm-hmm. but I'm really enjoying it. And I've bought myself like two, they're kind of, I don't even know what the material would be called. They're really soft to touch pillows. And so I really like the texture of that. So whether it's that I'm hugging it, that it's lying next to my head, I don't sleep on it. They're just in the bed. So it's like a full hullabaloo, my side of the bed. And then there's Cal just lying on his side.
Lying on his side or lying on his slither?
On his slither. On his side, balancing precariously.
Because this is me imagining you and Cal in the bed and all the pillows surrounding you and your weighted blanket, and then the weighted blanket's fallen off you in the middle of the night, so Cal just gets rolled off the
and there's headphones somewhere in the bed. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not that bad.
Are you sure? Let's get Cal on to ask.
Yeah. All those things help me to have good sleep hygiene. So they are my triggers. So, and I find that really helpful. And deep breathing. Deep breathing is really good.
Sorry, yeah, we do deep breathing for Emily. And Simon does a meditation over Emily as well.
That's really
because
nice.
She is our Amy.
Yeah.
She is our wakeful child.
I thought, Kirst, there will probably be some listeners who are listening to us in bed right now.
Well, before they fall asleep, I think we should say if you are in bed and if you use us for a good night relaxation, you are our people this week that need to write us a review.
That is excellent. Is that a nice segue? If you're in bed while you're listening, you need to leave us a review this week. And there's no excuses, by the way. Red cars, Jane, Pilates.
Yeah.
If you're in bed, it's your week to leave us a review. All right.
So we hope that this episode has inspired you, has motivated you, and you really are encouraged to get into your bedroom and declutter and organize it so that you can have a really deep, restful sleep thanks to the art of decluttering.
We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.